ShasIlluminated.org presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Makos is dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Shmuley Katz Le'ilui Nishmas Yisrael Bended Ben Yehuda Aryeh.
Maseches Makos, Daf Tes Zayin. The Gemara brings down the question of someone who leaves over eating kochim until after the Zaman Achila, and is oiver on the loisaseh, the loisaseh mimenu ad boiker. And afal pikein, the halacha is that even though you violated the loisaseh of not leaving over noisor, loisei siru mimenu ad boiker, you still do not get malchus. And the question is, why don't you get malchus? And the Gemara brings down a braisa that Rabbi Yehuda said that the reason is because it's a lav hanitik la'asei. Veloisei siru mimenu ad boiker, don't violate the lav and leave over the kochim, eating the kochim. Va'noisei mimenu ad boiker, bo'eis tisroifu, what you do leave over and you make noisor, the din is that you burned it in fire. So it's a lav hanitik la'asei, and therefore there's no malchus. Later on in the Omud, the Gemara brings down that there's actually another braisa, which also quotes Rabbi Yehuda, and there we have Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Yosi Agzili, and there he gives a different reason, but there it says that it's lav she'en b'maisa, and chol lav she'en b'maisa in loikin olav. And this is an example of this. A person leaves over eating the kodshim, it violates the loisa, say, in a passive manner, ein b'maisa. So this will be another explanation. And that the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, who holds lav she'en b'maisa, doesn't get malchus. This earlier braisa is Rabbi Yehuda himself, who holds lav she'en b'maisa, does get malchus, and therefore needs a different explanation, and has to say that you don't get the malchus by loisa siru, because it's nitik la'asei. The Rambam, when he brings down this din in Hilchos Tzulah Mekdoshim, paskins, you're not allowed to leave over basar kodshim after the Zman Achila, and the Rambam says that if you do leave it over, you're over on loisa siru, but there's no malchus, shehari nitkoi hakosov la'asei, shenemar v'hanoisa mimenu adboike bo'esh tisroifu. So the Rambam brings down the reason that there's no malchus on loisa siru, leaving over kodshim and not eating it till after the Zman Achila and making it noisa, no malchus on that because it is a lav hanitik la'asei. The Rambam himself, however, when he discusses the halacha of not leaving over the emurim of a korban, the emurim is the pot that goes on his bech, and the fire is supposed to burn it, a person leaves over the emurim and doesn't makriv them, and it violates the issa to make them into noisa, there the Rambam says there's no malchus on that because afa pisha ovar ein eloike lefisha ein boy maisa. And there the Rambam gives the reason, different reason. He says because there's a passive violation in leaving over the emurim and being moisir them and not offering them on the fire. Lav shein by maisa, and we know that the din is lav shein by maisa ein loikin olov. The Mishnah Melech over there asked the Kasha. We see that the Rambam gives two different reasons in the two different contexts. When he talks about the issa to leave over kochim that was supposed to be eaten and you don't eat it, and the Rambam says there's no malchus because nitik la'essa. And he speaks about a murim which is supposed to go on the fire of the mizbech. The Rambam gives a different reason. He doesn't say it's nitik la'essa. He says that it's because it's a lav she'en boy maisa. The Mishnah Melech says, why didn't the Rambam give the reason of nitik la'asei when he spoke about leaving over the emurim? Answers the Mishnah Melech, because we do not find a nitik la'asei by the loisa. In other words, a person fails to offer the emurim on the fire and leaves them over, we don't find in the Torah that there is an asay. If you over loisei siru, then go ahead and burn them in the manner of psulim mekdoshim. We don't find this asay in the Torah, and therefore, says the Mishnah Melech, the Rambam has looked for a different reason, couldn't go with the nitik la'asay, so the Rambam gave the reason of ein b'maisa, that it's passive. Rav Shmuel Lozovsky here raises the question, is it really true that we don't find any asay to burn in the fire, in the manner of Psulim Mekdoshim, the emurim that were left over from the Mizbeach and weren't offered on the Mizbeach. Is that true? He brings the Rambam Paskin, the Nuchas Psulim Mekdoshim, Perek Yutes, Mitzvah Sasei, Lisroif Kol HaKodshim Shenitmu'u. So there is a Mitzvah Sasei to burn in the manner of Psulim Mekdoshim, any Koshim that becomes Tomei, and therefore unable to be offered. Likewise, v'chein ha-noisar mitzvaseh l'soyfoy, anything that's left over, v'noisar v'besar ha-zovach, and likewise, says the Rambam, v'chlal ha-noisar ha-pigol, v'chol pasula magdashim ha-koil nisrofim. Pigol and any pasula magdashim, everything is supposed to be burnt, and the mashmois of the Lashon HaRambam is that everything is nichlal in the expression of kol psula mekdoshim, and everything apparently has a mitzvah to be burnt, including apparently that was supposed to be emurim, that was supposed to go on the bech, and failed to go on and became noiser. So it seems that the language of the Mishnah Lamelech, what he says, that there is no assay to burn in the manner of psula mekdoshim, that which was left over and wasn't offered as emurim, it seems to be contradicted by the Pashtas Haloshon of the Rambam, which seems to say that all psulim akdashim that failed to be offered, or whatever it is, or failed to be eaten, failed to be offered. Either way, it seems that they all have a mitzvah to burn them. If so, it's going to be shver once again. Why, when the Rambam discusses a murim that was left over and not offered on the Mizbech, why doesn't he mention that there's no malchus on that? Because it's nitik la'aseh, since it does appear to be an aseh to burn all psulim akdashim, even that which didn't go on the Mizbeach and was left over. And this, there are actually a couple of approaches. The Magia on the Rav Shmuel Lozovsky points out that the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Mem Gimel does say, the Minchas Chinuch says, he brings a lashon in the Gemara in Masechet Pesachim, that the Gemara says that all psulim makdashim, the fact that they have to be burnt in the manner of psulim makdashim, is Gemara Gemirilo, which means that it is halacha mishma Sinai. The Minchas Chinuch says, is it really true that it's just a halacha mishma Sinai as opposed to an actual mitzvah, say, to burn kachin that became pasul? Is that true? There are, says the Minchas Chinuch, a couple of psukim, for example, a pasuk by Noisa that we have in our Gemara, that there it's an actual mitzvah, say, not just a halacha mishma Sinai. V'anoisa menuat boike ba'ishtes roifu. Likewise, the pasuk about kachin that became tomei. V'abosak ashigir b'chol tomei, lo ye oche. So the pasuk actually says that there is an actual mitzvah say to burn kachin that became tamei. Likewise, he brings down a diak in the lashon Rambam that the Rambam says that pigul is equated to noisar, and therefore there's an actual mitzvah say to burn pigul. Says the Minchas Chinuch that even though by these specific psulim makdashim we do find psukim and mitzvah says to burn them, however by all other kachim psulim that became pasul in any manner, says the Minchas Chinuch, it really is only a gemara gemiri law, like the language of the Gemara in Pesachim, and it's only halacha mishma Sinai, and the Minchas Chinuch says it is an actual nafkemina from this b'negeya to someone who would make a shvua to violate the Torah law that these kachim psulim have to be burnt. That the person is nishba, he makes a shvua that he won't burn these particular kachim psulim. So if the Gemara says a nishba levatal is a mitzvah, the shvua is not chal. The Gemara learns this out of Pesachim. So if a person will be nishba that he's not going to burn the noisor or that kachim which became tamei, the shvua is not chal because it's against the mitzvah. However, a shvuah which is against halacha mishma Sinai, the Minchas Chinuch says that it is chal, and he brings rayas to this, he brings a pimigodim, that halacha mishma Sinai is considered to be the equivalent of einoy mefurish b'toira with regard to shvuah. So in other words, even though there's a din deraisa to fulfill halacha mishma Sinai, of course, the deraisa, afal pikein, it's not considered to be a dinet mefurish in the Torah, and therefore a shvuah could be chal in it, as the pimigodim says. And in this specific case, says the Minchas Chinuch, likewise, a person is nishba not to burn kachin that became posel in some other manner, other than noiser, tamei, pigul, the din is that the shvuah will be chal. So therefore, the Magia says, the Magia on the Rav Shmuel Lozovsky, that in fact, we could sustain the teretz of the Mishlam Melech that we said before. And if a person doesn't burn a murim that became left over, that's not the so-called mefurish bikra case of noiser, because the case of noiser, which is in the kra, it says that the person should eat it. You should eat the kachim, don't leave it over till the morning. That's talking about kachim that gets eaten. So even though it is true that kachim that was left over and wasn't offered on the fire in the Mizbeach also has to be burnt, that's only a drega of halacha mishma Sinai, according to the way that the Minchas Chinuch is medayik, and it would not have a din of an actual mitzaseh, so it wouldn't be called nitik la'aseh. That's why the Rambam needed, as the Mishnah Melech does say, like we said before, the Rambam needed a different reason why there would be no malchus in leaving over the emurim from the Mizbeach, and the Rambam had to come onto the reason of lav she'im b'maisa. This is one approach. There's a second approach as well. It's an approach that was quoted from Reb Chaim by the Brisker Rav in the Shiur Mantmura. It's brought down by Reb Shmuel Lozovsky over here as well. Reb Chaim says that if we are medayek carefully in the language of the Torah, when it speaks about the lois hasei of not leaving over emurim from the fire on the Mizbeach, we find that it's a different expression, a different loshon that the Torah uses by the issur of leaving over the emurim from the fire, and the issue of leaving the meat that you're supposed to eat overnight. But the language of the Torah, when it says not to leave over the meat, it says, loy say siru mimenu ad boike. Loy say siru, don't leave it over, don't make it into noisor. Loy say siru, by leaving it over. The language of the Torah by emurim, however, is different. It says, v'lo yolin chaylev chagi ad boike. Don't leave it overnight, lino. Lo yolin chaylev chagi ad boike. Reb Chaim said, Reb Chaim was mechadish, that the concept behind the lo yolin is an entirely different concept than the idea behind the lo yisrei siru. This one is not to go through a lina, not to go through an overnight. The other is not to render it into noisor. Don't turn it into noisor, lo yisrei siru. Reb Chaim said these are entirely different ideas. The geder of the lo yisrei, says Reb Chaim, of loisei siru is, don't bring the meat to the point that it gets a chalois shem psul of noisor. Noisor is a psul in a korban, and don't leave the meat over such that it will get that chalois psul. Loisei siru, don't leave it to become noisor. Masha ingain the gather of lo yolin, said Reb Chaim, that is not a shem. That's a din in a paslus on the korban. We find, for example, says Reb Chaim, that there's a din lino on the mekior, right? The Gemara speaks about the mekior that was left overnight, the water that's kodesh, the mayim kedoshim and the kior, left overnight and gets a chalois psul of lino, despite the fact that the mekior is, of course, doesn't have any shem korban. Therefore, says Reb Chaim, the din of lino is not to leave kodshim overnight. The din of noisor is to not create the chalois psul noisor of a korban. So Reb Chaim, since the asay that the Torah commands is the hanoisor mimenu ad boiker boesh tisroifu, that which got upon it the shem psul, a korban of noisor, shall be burnt in fire, the hanoisor mimenu ad boiker boesh tisroifu. So therefore, that which has the lois asay of loisoi siru, don't turn it into a halois psul in the korban of noisor. So that's going to be responded to with the mitzvah asay that follows it, the hanoisor mimenu ad boiker boesh tisroifu. That which you turned wrongly into noisor, you should burn it in fire. That's the kachim that should have been ne'echolim, that should have been eaten, where the lois I say was lois siru. Don't turn it into noisor. Don't give it the chalois shem psul korban of noisor. The Torah responds with the asay, the hanoisor menu ad boikah v'esh tesroifu, and that's nitikla asay. Masha'en came ve'emurim, where the Torah never said lois siru. Don't turn them into noisor. Don't give it the chalois psul and the korban of noisor. Over there, the Torah said, don't leave it overnight. V'lo yolin chaylev chagiyad boikah. So even though leaving it overnight does make it into noisor, that's not what the Torah commanded you. The Torah didn't say don't make the emurim into noisor, it said don't leave them overnight. The Meila, therefore, when we have the asay that follows it up, which even if we'll say that that asay does apply to emurim, the asay doesn't respond to the lav. The lav was said about one concept, and the asay applies with regard to a different concept. The lav was not to be yolin, don't leave it overnight. The asay is that which became noisor should be burnt in fire. So although it is true that once you leave it overnight, it does become noisor, the assay wasn't said as a response to the lav. It's an independent assay, which happens to relate to the fact that it happens to have become noisor by leaving it in the morning. The lav wasn't on that. The lav was not meant to be yolin. Therefore, when you do that assay, although it is an assay, afal pikein says Reb Chaim, it's not menatic the lav. It doesn't respond to the lav because the lav was said regarding a different concept of yolin, and it doesn't make it into the assay. That's what the Rambam had to say with regard to Imurim, that it's not when the person leaves it in the morning, although he has the ability to burn the emurim, he has that mitzvah, it still does not make a nitikla asay, and therefore we need to say a different reason, that it is a lav she'im b'maisa. Now the Mishnah Melech over there also brings down, he brings up the Kesef Mishnah as the Kasha, there is also a Fakir to Kasha on the Rambam. As we said, the Rambam, when he goes, discusses the din not to leave the emurim overnight, the Rambam says that you're over on that lois asay, and he says that you don't get malchus because it's a im b'maisa. And the Rambam discusses the leaving over the kochim, it should have been eaten, the kochim had ne'echolim overnight. The other Rambam says, like Abba Gemara says, that if you leave it overnight, you're going to not get malchus because it's nitikla asay. And the question is asked by the Kesef Mishnah. Since the Rambam does paskin throughout, all over the Yad, that lav she'en b'maisa is ein loikin olav, and the Rambam says it by emurim as well, that's why there's no malchus for violating the issur to leave over the emurim. If that is so, why didn't the Rambam give that reason as well regarding the issur to leave over the kochim ne'echolim, to fail to eat the kochim overnight? The Rambam had to come under nitikla asay. Why didn't he just say, based upon the rule that he always goes with, like the man domer the Gemara by us, and I was sugya, that lav she'en b'maisa ain't loikin all of. Kesef Mishnah answers that the Rambam is l'rebusa ka'omar, he was just coming to tell you a chiddush, that even if I would not have had the p'tur of lav she'en b'maisa, and even if theoretically the issur to leave over eating the kodshim would have been a lav she'yesh b'maisa, afal pi kein there would have been no malchus anyway because it's nitik la'asei. He just wanted mechadish this chiddush that it has the p'tur of nitik la'asei. The Mishnah Melech says on this, v'loy neskarero daiti b'tiris zeh. He says this is not a teretz that satisfies me, and the reason is zokter because the fact is, if you think about it carefully, the p'tur of nitikla asay is less all-inclusive and appears to cover less cases than the Ptur of Ein B'Maisa, which is all-inclusive. Specifically, Zot the Mishnah Melech, if we go with the Ptur of Ein B'Maisa, it's going to be an absolute. Any time a person leaves over Kochim Necholim and doesn't eat it in his Oivran Loisisiru, he never gets the Malkus because it's Ein B'Maisa. That's what the Rambam would have said there. It would have been absolute Ptur. The Maisa of the Rambam does not say that. And he says the Ptur of Nitikla Asay, which Zot the Mishnah Melech, is actually more limited. It's more limited because we find that the Rambam throughout the Yad, Paskins like the Manda Omar and our Sugya, the Kimoy Veloy Kimoy. What does that mean, like we spoke before, like we spoke yesterday? What's Kimoy Veloy Kimoy? Well, Kimoy Veloy Kimoy means, as we had the discussion, that a person violates a lois assay, which has the ability to menatik it to an assay. So if you hold kima v'loi kima, that means if you make use of the opportunity to the mekayim the assay, then that's menatik the love, and you don't get malchus. Masha inkein, if it would come about a situation of which becomes impossible, the Rambam paskins, to menatik that assay. So if I go with kima v'loi kima, even if I personally wasn't actively the one who has mevatel the ability, I didn't do the bitloy act of being mevatel the ability to do the assay and menatik the love. It just happened by itself. Alpha became the Rambam Paskins throughout the Yad, that we hold Kimo V'loi Kimo, and the person who loses the ability permanently to fulfill the Laseh is going to get Malkus. And that's why, for example, Zok, the Mishnah Melech, Rambam Paskins, that a person who's divorces Megarish, the Nara Basula, that he was Ma'anis and he was Mechuyev to marry her, if he's Megarish and over on the Lois Laseh, what if she's Mesa Grushosoi? She dies by herself. He didn't kill her. She dies by herself. And he loses permanently the ability to take her back. So therefore, the assay no longer has the lois assay he violated of not to divorce her, no longer has the yecholus, the ability of kimoy, the Rambam Paskins that makes a grushosay is loike. Likewise, the Rambam Paskins is numerous times, Zok the Mishnah Melech, throughout the Yad, that any time you lose the ability to perform the kimoy, to mekayim the assay that's menatik the lav, you automatically are going to get malchus. And therefore, consequently, Zok the Mishnah Melech, imagine in the case, in our case, that a person is over the lois assay of lois assiru and leaves over the kochim hane'echolim, and he doesn't get the malchus. Why? Paskin is the Rambam, like it says in our Gemara, in a Braise, he doesn't get the malchus because it's lavanitik le'ese. What's going to happen, though, if the noise subsequently gets consumed by a lion and no longer has the ability to perform the assay on it to burn it? Or what happens if it gets lost permanently, destroyed? You no longer have the ability to perform the mitzvah, say, of burning the noise. So it's going to follow from the reason that the Rambam gives, that it no longer has the nitikal assay because we hold kima v'loi kima and you can't mekayim the assay anymore, and mainly you're going to end up getting malchus on the lav of loisei sinu. If so, why didn't the Rambam give the more all-inclusive ptur of Ein B'Maisa, which patters all cases where the person leaves left over the noisar, including the cases where the noisar would subsequently get destroyed and can't be burnt? He didn't give that, and he gave the more narrow ptur of nitikal assay, which would seem to imply specifically that if you lose the ability to perform the assay permanently, then you will get the malchus. How could them give the narrower ptur when there was actually a broader ptur to give it? This is very schwer, and the Mishnah Melech blies by Akasha. Rav Shach, Zichron Levroch, and the Avi Ezri says on this a very, very big chiddush. Rav Shach is mechadish the following nekuda. He said the Rambam held that the issur of loisei siru, to leave over kodshim and not eat it, which doesn't get any malchus, because it's nitikla assay, the assay of burning, that I'm held that this is not negaya to the shiloh of kima v'loi kima, and in fact, even if you would lose permanently the ability to perform the assay, you would not, in fact, get malchus. This is a different geder, different sort of a nitikla assay, says Rav Shach, than the normal nitikla assay, which Rambam passes throughout the Yad, that only as long as you still have the ability to perform the assay, to be kima, only as long as you have that yecholus to mekayim the assay, then you hold it for the malchus. And if you lose the yecholus to mekayim the assay, like the grushosay, for example, would die, then you would get the malchus. It's a different category. Why, says Rav Shach? Rav Shach is a remarkable chiddush. A tain is that normally, a lav anitik la'assay, you look at the assay and you could see how it's menatik. It kind of fixes up the lav. To give a simple example, by ma'anis, the person is megarish, the wife said he wasn't allowed to megarish, so the assay is to take her back. And clearly, obviously, that assay is going to fix up the lav that you did. The lav was to remove her, to divorce her, and the assay is to take her back. That assay is clearly menatik the lav in the sense that it fixes up the lav. Masha'in Kane said, Zokter Shach, We have a lois asay of lois lesiru, don't leave over the kochim meat, and the asay that's menatik, that is to burn it. How in the world does the asay of burning, how is that going to fix up the lois asay of leaving it over? It doesn't do anything about that asay. You left it over, and it's not totally irreversible. It's not at all in any way reversed by fulfilling the asay of burning. You burn, but you still left it over, and the burning doesn't redress the leaving it over at all. Dr. Shach, therefore, this is really a new gather of a nitik la'asay, and we note that the Torah intended menatik la'asay because it followed it up immediately, the lois asay followed by the asay. Lois asay na'al boiker, lois na'al boiker ba'ish tesroifu. Clearly, the Torah is setting it up in such manner that the asay is to address the lav, to respond to the lav, and is menatik the lav. But it does so in a manner that doesn't actually fix up the lav at all. It's just a gzeiras hakosev, that doing this thing of burning the kodshim, which became nifsal, and in some manner that's going to address that lav and respond to it, so it's menatik the lav, even though it doesn't fix up the situation anyway. Zokt of them, Rav Shach, this particular case, the ability to perform that assay, or the inability to do so, the kimo v'lo kimo is not going to be the determinant which will be keveya, whether this is called nitik la'asay. Rather, the nitik la'asay is in the Torah giving the din ha'asay as immediate response to the lav. You overloy say siru, the Torah says, what's the response? We give you a din of an assay. Regarding those assays, which is general beklal, that's usually the way it is, that the assay fixes a lav, was given to fix the lav, I have to look at whether I could still fix the lav or not. And if I can't fix the lav, because for example the grushasei died, the achilus to fix it is no longer there, so there I say it no longer has the shem of nitik la'asei, and you'd get the malchus. Over here, however, where the asei was not intended to fix the lav at all in the first place, rather it's just the Torah's response to the lois asei, don't leave it over, and if you do leave it over, we're responding with the din asei to mekayim the sreifa. Zir of Shach said that the nitik la'asei nemtzach, it stems from the din ha'asei, rather than the ability to perform it. That ability to perform is only what determines nitik la'asay when the asay is the reverser of the lav. It fixes the lav. Over here, the asay isn't the sort that is intended to fix a lav, and it's the din nitik la'asay, which is part of the malchus, regardless of whether the basar kodshim gets ochloy ari or gets destroyed, or in any manner becomes unable to perform that asay, you're still minutik from the malchus. Later on the Omud, the Gemara discusses Rabbi Yochanan's teaching of Zois v'oid acheres. Zois v'oid acheres is Rabbi Yochanan held that when we have a lava nitik la'asei, there are only two cases, two categories of lois aseis, where the din of nitik la'asei and the ptur from malkos of nitik la'asei is going to depend on whether you actively did the assay or not, or you actively mevatli assay. Well, all other nitik la'aseis, you're going to be unequivocally pater from malchus, regardless of how you respond to what happens later on. This is because Rabbi Yochanan goes with bitloy v'le bitloy. Rabbi Yochanan says that there are only two cases of bitloy v'le bitloy where the person does the active bitol, removes actively the ability to perform the assay and menatik the lav, and ends up getting malchus. In all other cases, we will say that the person who violates the law, which is nitik la'aseh, is absolutely and unequivocally pater from malchus, because we don't have a good case of bitloy where the person would actively remove the ability to perform the assay. And the Gemara tries to figure out, maybe there are other cases not given by Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara suggests, what about gezeila? How about gezel? The Torah says, lois sigzel, a person is over on stealing, does he get malchus? No, he doesn't get malchus, because there's a nitik la'aseh, and the Torah says, v'heshiv es ha'gezeila asher gozal. Well, says the Gemara, why don't you say that if you hold a bitloy that Rabbi Yochanan does, there is a way for a person to do this bitloy act on the gezel, which is to say that you could burn the gezel, like Rashi says, and you actively destroy the ability to perform the assay, and therefore l'chur, you should get malchus on the lav of gezel. Why isn't that another case of bitloy? Rabbi Yochanan ought to concede you destroyed the dover that was nigzal, and therefore you ought to get malchus. And the Gemara says, nope, hasam kivan dechayav betashlumin ein loike. Since the person, even if he destroys the chafetz that was nigzal, so we no longer have the din, the mitzvah, say the Torah to return the entity itself that was nigzal, the heishiv as exayil asher gozal, nonetheless, I'll have the second halacha of the chiyuv tashlumin that you have to pay for it, and therefore, you're not going to get malchus and also pay at the same time. On this we have in the Rishonim a couple of very different approaches to understand what the Gemara means to answer by saying that Gesel doesn't get Malkus even if you would destroy the Chefes and Nigzal, because it still is Nitin and Letashlumen, you're still Chayev Tashlumen. Tosfos says over here that what the Gemara means to answer is that therefore, since even if you would destroy the Chefes and Nigzal, there would be a Din Mamoin, Hilkach, Loi Mashkachas Lo Bitloi. Now therefore that's not called Bitloi. It's not normally a Birchan hold. I go with Bitloi Vele Bitloi, and if I'm actively Mevatel, destroy the ability to perform the assay, I'll get Malkus on the Lav. But over here, even if you destroyed the Chefetz and Nigzal, you can no longer perform the Heishavetz Akzeh Shagosal, it's still not called Bitloy, because you still have the backup assay, which itself is an assay, the din to pay for it. And therefore, as long as there is the ability to pay with money, you're not going to get Malkus, says Toysis, and consequently, it's not called a Bitloy Vele Bitloy. This is Toysis' Pshat, and what the Gemara means to answer. Now, Toysis says that you should not learn. Lekol Efrushi, don't learn, the Gemara means to say something else, that since it's Momoin, the person has a chuyiv of Momoin, and there's a din Malgos on him, so the din is a din of Kedei Rishosoi, like the Gemara learns that in Ksubis and other places, that you don't get a double Oinish, a person doesn't get an Oinish of Momoin and an Oinish of Malgos both, and consequently, since over here there's a din of Tashlumin, you have to pay money, therefore you don't get the Malgos because of Kedei Rishosoi. You should not learn Pshat like that in the Gemara, and Taisa has a couple of kashas on that, I'll mention one right over here. Taisa says that would be the intent of the Gemara. In reality, we go like Rabbi Yochanan in a Masechta Ksubis that says that wherever there's din of Mamon and Malkus, Milka Loki, Mamon and Levashalim, Rabbi Yochanan Papaskins, that the person who does an act, a single act, which is liable to Mamon and Malkus both, he gets the Malkus and not the Mamon. That's how you perform the Kedei Rishosai. The Malkus and not the Mamon. So why did the Gemara say over here that since they didn't pay Mamon on the Gezela, therefore there is no Malkus? That's against how we pass in Rabbi Yochanan Masechta Ksubis, and therefore they cannot be pshat at the Gemara. It can't be based on that you're only going to get one of the Unshim, only Mammon and not the Malkus, because that's not how we paskin in Ksubis. Consequently, you have to learn Tosfos says like my Pshat, that it really, the Pshat is that it's not Bitloy, and it's still Nitiklase. This is how Tosfos learns. There's a Shaila in the Achroinim about Tosfos' assumption that the Dinta Shlumin has a gather of an assay. Tosfos has to hold that the Dinta Shlumin is an actual assay, just like the Din to return the Chevet HaNigzal itself is an assay, but Heshev is a Gezel Shagazal, so to the Dinta Shlumin is also an assay. And the Noida Behuda actually asks on this that when the Torah says if you do steal the Heshavas Hagzela Asher Gozal, you have to return the Gzela Asher Gozal, and that extra word is Asher Gozal, the Gemara Darshins, the Masechta Baba Kama, that if the entity is still Ke'en She Gozal Yazir, if it has not undergone any kind of a Shinoi, has not been transformed, then that's what we have, the Din to return the entity itself. Then we're learning from there that Shinoi is Kaina. If it's not Ke'en She Gozal, it undergoes a Shinoi, then you don't have the mitzvah to return the entity itself. You have a different din to pay for it. Ba'kopanim, the Gemara teaches the language of the pasuk veheshivetz hagzela asher gozal to say that only if it's asher gozal ke'en shegozal, the entity itself in the same tzura, the same form that it was stolen in, then you have the veheshiv. Now, the time is therefore, and the chayyur ought to follow that even though there certainly is a din tashlumin, no question whatsoever for a ganav, a gazlan that stole something, and either the chayfetz was nishtana or the chayfetz got destroyed, burnt, like we have in the sugya here. All those cases, it didn't tashlumin, says the Nedi Behuda, but it ought not to have the level of a mitzvah say, it's not a fulfillment of a heshiv, and therefore, consequently, we ought not to say that it's menatik the lav. So why does Tosfos still say that there is still an assay that is menatik the lav, which is the paying? Well, the chayra, that's not a fulfillment of a heshiv. Nedi Behuda Tain is it's possible to argue that perhaps it depends on whether I paskin like the manda oma shinei koina, or I hold shinei eine koina, it's actually two opinions in Baba Kama, and if I hold shinei eine koina, I don't darshan the pasuk of Asher Gozal, the man that we spoke of. Asher Gozal only is Ken Shagozal. I hold Shinoi Eine Koina means even if it's Nishtani, even if it undergoes a total transformation, it's transformed into a new form, a new tzura, and still has the mitzvah of a Heshiv on it. Likewise, says the Nadi Behuda, if I go like that, Manda Omar, I could argue that even if the Chefetz is destroyed and burnt, I still, my din to pay the Momo in itself is also a fulfillment of a Heshiv, and consequently, the Lois Asay of the Gzeil is still Minutikta Asay of a Heshiv, just with the payment of money. And that's what Tosfos is going to learn, says Nadi Behuda. He could learn that our Gemara goes like the Manda Amashina in Ikoina, like the Manda Amar Baba Kama, who doesn't dash in the Asher Gozal to mean specifically limited to Ke'en Shagozal. And that's why Tosfos understood that our Gemara Shita is going to be that the din, to pay for the din, the chayfetz that you stole, even if it's no longer intact, you pay for it, that is also fulfillment of the assay and also is menateik the lois assay. This is all in Tosfos' Shita. The Rambam in Hilchos Gzeilo has a remarkable lashon, which we see clearly, and the Chonon Medayek this, that the Rambam is choylik on the Tosfos. The Rambam writes that if a person steals a Shavapruta from his friend, he's over on Leisigzo, but there's no Malkus. Why? Because, akos of not koila asei, the Torah gave it this asei to fix it. Shem gozal chayav lahachzi, if they return the entity, the mitzvah asei to return it, shenem avaheshev es hagzeilo shegozal, zu mitzvah asei. Okay, so far, the Rambam is clear, like Abba Gemara says, that the person who's over on Leisigzo does not get any Malkus because it nitikla asei the asei of a heshiv to return it. Zok the Rambam va'afilu sorof ha'gezeila ein eloike. Even if he burns the gezeila, which is our Gemara's question, what if he would burn it? You don't get Malkus anyway. Why? Zok the Rambam sherehu chayav l'shalom domeho, because he's required to pay. V'chol lav shenitin l'tashlumin, any lav that's given to a payment to pay for it ein loiken olov. There's no Malkus on that. And this there choreinim amadayik, a couple of points. The main point is that the Rambam seems to very, very clearly separate and make distinct the din of the Ptur Malkus by a person who still has the chayfetz intact and has to for return it. Where the Rambam says clearly that the reason why you're potter from the Malkus on the Leisigzo is because it's nitik la'asei. The Rambam says, because it's not kila asei, shem gozo chayav lahachse v'heish, like it says, v'heish v'sakzeila. And then the Rambam gives a very distinct reason and a separate reason for why when the person burns the entity that you stole and you no longer could fulfill the v'heish, why is it still a Ptur of Malkus? And the Rambam says something else. He doesn't say nitik. He says, "Sharehu chayav l'shalim domeh, because you have to pay, and it's called a lav hanitin l'tashlumin." The lashon of Rambam, "nitin tashlumin," is ain loiken olav. So it's very clear that the Rambam separates out these two pturim into two different, distinct pturim. And in fact, Reb Chaim says, like we'll discuss a little later, Blinated, that the Rambam got this out of the pashtus haloshon of our Gemara, which the pashtus simple loshon of our Gemara is against the Tosfos. And Tosfos himself, in a sense, concedes this a little bit in the language that he uses, that the simple language of our Gemara seems to indicate that if the chevetz is still intact and you didn't burn it, then it's nitik la'asei nipoter from Malkus because you have the asei to fix it, the v'heish of its exhale. Ma'ashenkin, if you burnt it, it's no longer intact. The Gemara does not appear to say, well, it's still nitik la'asei because you could fulfill the asei v'heish of the tashlumin. It doesn't really look like that in the Gemara. The Gemara says, ha'sam, kiven the chayav b'tashlumin, the girsa we have, chayav b'tashlumin, ain't loikum mashalom. The simple understanding of the Gemara is that the Gemara means to say something very distinct, a different Torah. On the Malkus, in a case where the person burns the entity and he has the din tashlumin left, it seems to be the Ptur which is distinct. There are a couple of nekudos regarding this Rambam. The Evan HaOzel in Hilchos Gzeilo discusses this Rambam, and he says, obviously the Rambam understood that the fulfillment of the paying of the money, the din tashlumin, is not an actual assay. Apparently, it seems to be not an actual assay in the sense that it's not going to make the lava leisizo nitigla assay. And therefore, when the Rambam got to the case where the person destroyed the object and he's going to have to pay money, he didn't patty off nitik la'asei, and he had to come with a different p'tur. Frank, the Evan HaOzel, asked the Evan HaOzel, we find in the Torah's Kayanim, the Torah says v'shilam, and we learn it in tashlumin out of v'shilam. So, in fact, Zok the Evan HaOzel, there's a pasuk in the Torah of v'shilam, why isn't that pasuk of v'shilam just as good a mitzvah say as the pasuk of v'heishiv? V'heishiv es hagzeila. Why don't you say v'shilam is also manatik the lois say? It's a pasuk in the Chumash. It should have the category of the getter of mitzvah say. And manatik the lois say based on the pasuk of v'shilam, which is learned, the shil learns that the Torah's kainim learns from the din tashlumin. Why isn't that enough to make a nitik la'asei? Zok the Evan HaOzel, we can answer this question based upon the Yesoi that Tosfos says in Ksubos Daf Lamed Beis Lamed Beis. In Tosfos and Ksubos, Tosfos says that normally, in order to make a lav into a lav hanitik la'asei and to pater for Malkus, we normally require that the asei should be written besomoch to the lav. They have to have a juxtaposition in the Torah. Lois asei, don't violate, and an immediate smich is juxtaposed. If you do violate, here is the response with the assay. Like we had before, Lo Yisrael Zunim Ad Boiker, Lo Yisrael Ad Boiker Ba'ish Tisroifu. The Torah juxtaposes the violation of the lav at the fulfillment of the assay. That's normally to make a nitik la'asei. Frek Tosfos, we find that the Gemara says, actually by us, that the Lo Yisrael of Gezeila, Lo Yisrael, is minutik to an assay of a heshiv, even though Zok Tosfos is very clear in the Torah, these are totally distinct places. Right? The heshiv is, we had the other day, the heshiv is in the Torah in Parshas Vayikra, and the Lo Yisrael of Yisrael is totally different place in the Torah. It's in the Kedoshim. So why does that have the category of nitik la'asei? And Tosfos answers, because through the fulfillment of the asei, the person is
Oiker, the gezel mitachas yodeh, it's lashon of Tosis, you're entirely removing, eradicating the gezel mitachas yodeh, and reversing what the lois haseh did. The lois haseh took the gezel out of the rishus hanigzal and put it into your hands, the hand of the gazlan. The haseh reverses that, takes it out of the hands of the gazlan and puts it back into the rishus hanigzal. And since it's a oiker and a reversal of what the lois haseh did, therefore it's automatically categorized. The vahesh of hasegzela is automatically called a nitikla haseh, even though it's not juxtaposed, not samuch to the lois haseh in the chumash. We can perhaps understand why the Rambam understood El Pidarkoi that the payment for the stealing, even though it's in the Torah, and even though one could argue that it's just as much as an assay, this Veshilam Pasuk, just as much as the Veheshe Pasuk, still it would not be sufficient for the Pasuk of Veshilam to render the Lois Assay of Lois Seizel and Nitikla Assay by virtue of the fact that he could fulfill a Veshilam. Why? Because these Sukkim are not juxtaposed to Lois Seizel and the Chumash. They don't have the Smichos that Taisa speaks about, which usually is the criterion that makes a Lav into a Nitikla Assay. These Sukkim are not juxtaposed, they're elsewhere in the Chumash. What makes Loi Sigzoil, Minutik to the Asay of Veheshiv, is like Tosis says, because the Veheshiv is an absolute reversal of what the Loi Sigzoil violated. Loi Sigzoil took it out of the Rishus of the Nigzal and gave it to the Gazan, and Veheshiv removed it from the Gazan and put it into the Rishus of Nigzal. There's an absolute Akira of the Loi Sasay, and that's why the Veheshiv makes the Loi Sasay into an Itikla Asay. Such a Mrs. Alman, okay? That's by the Veheshiv, where the entity is still be'en and it could be returned and given back. Mashi Inkin, if you burnt it, and you can't be Oiker absolutely the violation which was done by means of the Loi Sigzoil, because you stole it and then you burnt it and you really can't reverse it anymore, which you did. There is a din to do your best, so to speak, and go to plan B and pay. Okay, that's true, and that's in the Torah. The Torah says Veshilam, but Afal Pekin, it doesn't truly reverse that which was done. It's not Oiker, the Lois Haseh, and consequently, it won't be able to make that Lois Haseh into a Nitikla Haseh. That's how the Rambam understood, says Rabbi Zalman. Rabbi Zalman adds that it appears that the Rambam, when the Rambam says that the din to pay is also going to pay for Malkus because of Nitin L'Tashlumin, which is not the Ptur of Nitikla Asay, it's a different din, the Rambam apparently understood that the Gemara means the exact pshat which Tosfos rejects, which is that the Rambam understood that the reason why the ability, the din, to return the mamoin, to pay mamoin for that which was stolen as gapati from Malkus, is because of ein eloika umeshalom, because of kedei rishosoi, that you don't get to a double punishment. And the Rambam did not hold, evidently, of Tosfos' kashas that he asked on this approach. Now, Tosfos has a couple of kashas on this approach. The first kasha Tosfos asked, as we said before, is that, in fact, if it's based on the din of ein eloika umeshalom, we do paskin like Rabbi Yochanan in Masechta Ksubis, that with the case of Loiko and Meshalem, two punishments, the mutl before the person, the din is you get Malkus and you don't pay. So why would Al Gemara say that the din is going to be that you're going to pay and don't get the Malkus? That's the first kasha Tosfos asks. There are various approaches to try to answer Tosfos' kasha on this, and the Hemek Shaila, the Netziv writes that we could defend this approach in the Gemara, those who learn the Hainu in this Gemara, that the reason why the din Tashlumin is going to pat you from Malkus and Gzela is because of Kedei Rishosa, because of Kimur Abmina, you don't get both punishments. Ah, Tosfos Tain is that normally we say in Ksubis that the din is Loike Ve'enim Eshalom. Zokt of them, the Hemek Shail in Tziv, in Sheilta Ayin Beis, that actually depends upon what the Geder of the Chi of Mamoin is. There's a fundamental distinction, says the Tziv in the Hemek Shail, between Momoin, which is mitzad the seichel being mechayev, a din momoin of tashlumin, which is intrinsically, innately understood that you're obligated to pay because you did a destructive act and therefore you have to pay. Or the kind of momnis, which is not mitzad the seichel being mechayev, but rather mitzad exeris hakosa. Like, for example, Zokte, the sugin ksubis, which Tosfos quotes, is actually discussing a case of ma'anes. The person ma'anes the naira besula, and he has to pay the money. That is a getter of knas, the Gemara says, and it's not a din tashlumin momen, it's not a momnis seichel tashlumin. It's a knatz atoris mechadish. Over there, we have a moment against the malchus, and Rabbi Yochanan says that you're lucky, you get the malchus and not the moment. Masha Enkein says in Netziv, in a case where the momnistika tashlumin is something which the seichel is mechayev, is an innately absolute requirement to restore, to repay for the damage that you did. Like, for example, we have in our case, the case of Gezel. And I was sugya. In the sugya over here, the gezel is the seichel is mechayev, then it's a chi of mumlis, it's not a din knas. And it's something which the seichel is mechayev. Of course, the person did the destructive act of gezel, he's going to have to, you have to pay. So that is momoino mamish, and therefore, certainly when they have the mumen against the malchus, it would be meshalim and not lucky. And that's what the other approach in the Rishonim held, says the Hemek Shailam. And that's why in our Gemara, the Gemara says, it says, nitl tashlumin, or to use the language of the Rambam, it says, tashlumin. So therefore, you're not going to be loyke, but rather you're going to have to pay the moment, because it's an absolute imperative to pay the moment, where it's a case with the absolute seichel mechayevoy, and then mainly you pay the moment, and then mainly therefore you don't get the malchus. Tosis also asks a second kasha on this approach. Tosis says, the Gemara is mamshech in our sugya, and asks, what about mashkoin shal geru meis hager, that the person took a mashkoin unlawfully, he's over on the din of the lois, I say not to take the mashkoin, and he's over on mashkoin shal mashkoin, and the ger, he took a mashkin from a ger who had no yershim, no relatives, the ger was megayer, and umeis hager, the ger dies. So in that case, l'choyre says the Gemara, you no longer have the yecholus to do the tashlum because there's no one to pay. So consequently, l'choyre, you ought to have to get the malchus. And says the Gemara, no, hasam gaver bar tashlumin hu, v'shibuta the ger hu de kapoka. Over there, the person is be'etzam a bar tashlumin, like Rashi says, you burnt the avoit, you no longer can return it. You no longer return the mashkin intrinsically. You got a din tashlumin on yourself, and that din tashlumin that's chal upon you, atas you from the malchus, and therefore, even if later on you lose the ability to be able to pay because the teveya no longer is alive, the ger is no longer alive. That's just the shibud of the ger happened to be poka la'achar zman afterwards, like Rashi says. But afal pikein, since what devolved upon you when you burnt the entity, you burnt the avoid, was the chi of tashlumin, so therefore the chi of tashlumin will pati you forever from malchus, even if shpeter, even if later on you lose the ability to actually pay because the ger dies. The Tosis says on that, that it's one thing if I learn the Gemara the way I, Tosis, understand it, that this is not a case of bitloy, and it's called nitikla asay, and you weren't actively bimvatel the ability to do the asay when you burnt the avoid, because you left intact the ability to pay, then you understand the Gemara perfectly, says Tosis, because when the ger dies later on, he dies by itself, that's not something that you did. You didn't actively do that to make the ger die. He died by itself. And therefore, since the active act that you did, which was the act of burning the avoit, was not a bitloy, because it left intact the yechidus to pay. So the ger dies later on, that's not an act that you did, and consequently you weren't bitloy, and Mele has the ptur of nitagla say of malchus. That works well, says Tosis. But if you learn, like the other alternative pshat in the Gemara, if I learn that the ptur of tashlumin is a new din of nitta tashlumin is because you're not loiko mishalim, so frek Tosis, that din that you're not loiko mishalim is something which depends kol rega v'rega on whether there will be a tashlumin. Ma she'en kein over here, if later on the ger dies and there won't be a tashlumin, it should devolve upon you at that point a chi of malchus, because you're no longer going to have the tashlumin. And in fact, we should say that it's in malchus. And the fact that the Gemara is naming on the malchus is permanently niftar, even after the ger dies, is clear as Octosis that the ptur we're talking about, that we're dealing with here, is not the din of any loika or mashalim, but rather is a fundamental ptur of nitik la'ase. That's Tosis' taina. The Vochon and Vasim in the Kovitz Shiurim of Babasra writes that we see a fundamental point from this Tosis. You see from Tosis at the Vochonon that this din of Kedei Rishosoi, the way it applies to Momenu Malkus, which is to say that when there's a Momenu Malkus, then if you only are going to get one punishment and not the other, the gather of that is, says Rabbi Chonon, is not the pshat that the chi of Momoin patted you from the chi of Malkus, the obligation to pay Momoin patted you from the chi of Malkus. Because if that's what it would be, Zot Rabbi Chonon, then l'chori we should say that the person, since he's mechuyev to pay Momoin, the Gemara does work well. Even though the ger died, you ba'atzmusay of mechuyev to pay the Momoin. And Mela, consequently, the chi of Momoin would pat you from the chi of Malkus. Tosis understood that it's the actual tashlumen of Momoin that pat you from the chi of Malkus. That's how the Kedei Rishosoi works. And therefore, the actual fulfillment of the payment of the Momoin would pat you. Over here, where you're no longer going to actively pay paying because the ger died, there's no recipient anymore to receive the tashlumen. So therefore, the din Malkus ought to come back. Chonon says that we see a similar yisoid in the Tosis Rid in Bob Metzia, where we find the Tosis Rid goes even further than this, and he says that by a case of Momenu Malkus with Halacha is that you don't get both punishments, you only get one. Zokt of them, the Tosis Rid, that really be'etzem in a case where there's Momenu Malkus, and in a case we're going to say that he pays the Momen and he doesn't get the Malkus, Adayin Shem Malkus Olov, says the Tosis Rid. It's not that you're potter for the Malkus, you still have a Shem, an obligation, be'etzem, etzem chiv to get Malkus. Momoinu hud lo So as the Tosfos read, even though you are intrinsically mechuyev in malchus, since there is a din tashlumi mamoin, the mamoin that you're paying is blocking the active the chi of malchus from becoming active. What happens in any case with the lo yohev le mamoin is that the Tosfos read, you're not going to be paying mamoin kagoyin shehu oni ve'ein loy malitain malkinon lei. So the Tosfos read says a remarkable chiddush: the person is an oni, he doesn't have what to pay, and there won't be an active tashlumi mamoin. Therefore, he's going to end up getting the malchus. The Zoktar Bachana, this is the yisoid. The Tosfos read is going even further. That they were just saying that in any case where you're not actively paying, even if it's just because you're an oni, where there won't be the active payment of the mamnos, that's going to automatically allow the malchus to actively become chayev, and the person will get an active payment of malchus. But etzem, the Evan also, Rebbe Zalman, discusses the same concept, the same question in the Evan also in the discussion of the Rambam. And he writes that the Rambam is going to use this question, this Chakira, to answer Tosis's kasha on his approach. That is, the Rambam is going to learn up in this Gemara that the reason why the person who destroys the entity that he stole, destroys the avoid, the mashkin that he took, and can no longer return it, the reason that person is, remains part of a malchus is not because of the nitikla asay. According to the Rambam, there's no longer a nitikla asay once the entity is no longer there to return. It's just a din tashlumin, and the Rambam learns up like the Tosfos rejected pshat, that it's a din mamon umalkus, and you're not going to get malchus because of a din mamon. Tosfos asks on that from the case of ger, and l'chayr, once the ger dies and there's no longer any recipient to receive the mamon, the order become back the chi of malchus. How did I'm going to answer that question on the Gemara? So the Rambam is going to learn that the chi of mamon, that's chal at the moment of destruction of the object, that chi of momoin, the chi of momoin, patadi from malchus. And in Mele, we don't look anymore at whether the active fulfillment of that chi of momoin is going to be actualized. Is the ger still around, in which case he could actually pay him? Is he no longer around? It's no longer possible to actually pay him. The shittas harambam is that by momoin malchus, the din momoin that patadi from malchus, is not the active tashlumi momoin, the way the Tosfos learned, but rather it's the concept of the chi of momoin, the chi of that devolves upon you. No, we don't have two chi of them devolving upon you, we have one chi of devolving upon you. And since you become chayiv and mom, this therefore you don't become chayiv and malchus. It's not going to depend on whether there's an actual fulfillment of the mom and payment later on or not. That's what Rambam understood, that even if the ger dies later, there was a chi of mom and chal meikor, not a chi of malchus, and the person remains not mechuyev b'malchus. On Amud Beis, the Gemara brings the din that ochal putisa, a putisa is a kind of sheres hamayim, and a water share, and if you eat a putisa, loika arbo, you get four sets of malchus. Nemolo, you eat a nemolo, an ant, you get five sets of malchus, loika chomesh, and that's the ant, the Gemara says, a sheretz al ha'oretz, an earth sheretz, and tzira, which is a hornet, you consume a hornet, loika sheish, so eight, six sets of malchus, shim sheretz ha'oif, because it is a sheretz ha'oif. In this Gemara, there is a fundamental machloikis between Rashi and the Rambam. We'll go through the fundamental idea behind this machloikis. Rashi's shita here is that when the Gemara speaks of ochel putisa loika arbo, Rashi says that basically there's two malchios for the basic shem sheretz. A person consumes any kind of sheretz, an insect-like creature, any kind of sheretz, a creepy creature. You consume any sheretz you over on two sets of malchus, because the Torah says twice the lois hasei of sheretz. Al tashaktsus nafshisecha b'chol sheretz ha-sheretz, and v'lois yisamu bohem. Which, two malchus, two sets of, two lois hasei's for a sheretz, and therefore two malchus. In addition to that, Rashi also says that a putisa, since it is a water sheretz, you also get another two malchus, because the Torah mentions the lois hasei of the water sheretz twice. So that's four, two for the general sheretz, two for the water sheretz. Nemola, Rashi says it gets five sets of malchus. Why? Well, a namala is a sheretz in general, and therefore there's two for the general sheretz. In addition, it's a sheretz ha'oretz, and therefore we find three times in the Torah that the Torah mentions a lois hasei against the sheretz ha'oretz and earth sheretz, and therefore you get the 2 plus 3 and you get five sets of malchus. When it comes to the tzura, the hornet, Rashi says, what is six sets of malchus? Because the hornet is a regular sheretz, so there's two for that. Plus it's also an earth sheretz, and it's three for that. Plus it's also, in addition, a sheretz ha'oif, it flies as well. And consequently, there's the additional sixth malchus for the being a sheretz ha'oif. Now, what emerges is that Rashi Shitta is that if we find a particular iser mentioned multiple times in the Torah with multiple lavin, even if it's exactly the same concept, you get multiple sets of malchus for that. And according to Rashi, that underlies this Gemara. The Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs is actually Mayrich in a couple of quite an arichos to argue that that's actually not so at all. He's very strongly opposed to that. And the Rambam says that if the Torah says multiple times exactly the same iser in multiple places, there's only one set of malchus for that. In keeping keeping with this shita of the Rambam, he has to totally reread this Gemara, and he writes that those who read this Gemara to be saying that there's multiple malchus for the same Isser, which is in multiple places, are completely wrong. The Rambam acknowledges that there are those who learned this way in the Gemara, but they're not correct, he says. And the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs and Lo says, Equifai and Tes, it has to find, for example, six separate concepts, six separate Issers, different conceptual issues in the Nimala in order to explain, actually the Hornet, the Sira, in order to find why it's six Malkias. And likewise, the same for the others. And I'm going to run down the way the Rambam has the six. It's not completely clear in the Rambam exactly how Yerechano is the six. There's a bit of an Arichos there. The Hemek Shail and Tziv goes through a little bit more precisely, specifically how the Rambam reckons the six. And basically, briefly, the six different concepts that are in the Tzira, according to the Rambam, are, number one is Sheretz HaOretz, and that's one, it's a Sheretz HaOretz. Two, it's a Mishave Me'ipush, it's an insect which is generated by decayed things, and that's called Roimes HaOretz, and I'll come back to that in a moment. That's a second Shem. The third is Toloam HaMesyalda Me'peiroiz, that it's generated from fruits, and the Rambam has a separate Lois HaSei for that. You also have Sheretz HaMayim, and then the fifth is Dog Tomei, because it's Rambam understood that it's a fish-like creature. The Rambam understood that the entity discussed in this Gemara that gets six Malkias is a fish-like creature, so it's Sheretz HaMayim, in addition to this Dog Tomei, and finally the Sheretz HaOif, it flies as well. So the Rambam has to actually understand that there's six separate concepts that are all contained independently in this one creature, this one Sheretz, and that's why it gets two, six separate Malkias, according to the Shittas HaRambam, which is totally opposed to Rashi. Now, the second of the six is the Sheretz HaMeshave Me'ipush. The Rambam has a little bit of an arichos there, Alpidarkoi, to explain that he reckons in the Minyan HaMitzvah, the Taryag Mitzvah, the Sheretz HaSheretz HaLaOretz, and there's also Roimes, called Roimes HaLaOretz. The Rambam understands these to be two separate Loisas, says, and he explains that the Sheretz HaSheretz HaLaOretz is that which reproduces naturally. Sheretz is like the Lushan of Yishritzu, Poru, of Yishritzu, so to reproduce, and the Rambam understands that which reproduces from the Zohar in the cave in the normal reproductive manner is called Sheretz HaLaOretz. According to the Rambam, that which spontaneously generates from Ipush, from decayed manner, which spontaneously produces this entity, this Sheretz, which is produced spontaneously from the Ipush, from the decayed matter, that's called Roimes HaLaOretz. It's not Sheretz HaLaOretz, it doesn't reproduce, it just gets created, spontaneously generated from the decayed matter. The Rambam actually is madgish and stresses over there that you should not be misled in the thinking that there's no such a thing as spontaneous generation. Don't think that all entities, all Balei Chai, have to come from a normal reproductive manner. Rambam says it's actually not so, and we know that you could see this thing, that decayed matter does produce Balei Chai, and that's Mamash Rechen separately in the Minyan HaMitzvah, the Rambam of Roimes HaLaOretz, that which is Meshave Me'ipush. Fashteitzuch, modern-day science doesn't accept this notion of spontaneous generation, and the conundrum is well-known, although it's not as well-known that the Rambam has Mamash an independent minion in the mitzvahs, the Sefer HaMitzvahs, in the sense that one of the Taryag, one of the Loisas, is specific to that is Meshave Me'ipush. Some, of course, have argued that that which reproduces in a sub-visual manner so that it's not visual to the naked eye, that perhaps to be called spontaneous generation, that upon that discussion, not negel in the neinu, but upon the Shittas HaRambam, what's negel to us is that he argues in Rashi, and he understands that we got to find multiple six, in this case, six multiple different concepts, all nesar independently by the Torah, in order to explain the loike sheish in this Gemara here. Now, in the Hemshach HaGemara, the Gemara is mavur, that if this entity, this sheretz that you consume, is eaten whole, then it's a beria, and then you get malchus, even if it's less than a kezias. If, however, it's risek, it's crushed up, so then you would have to have the requisite shear of a kezias in order to mechayev of the malchus. Rashi, throughout the sugya, consistently, when he speaks of being consuming a berio, which is going to get malchus without a kezias, Rashi speaks with the lashon of bola, that you swallowed it down. Rashi said by the case of benisa, which is the fish-like creature, Rashi says shebola sheretz hamayim, you swallowed it. Later on, the same thing, the masach kezias nevela, Rashi says sheka sheboil oy hu meis, etc. And the Achrinish tell him this, the Chikrei Lev, the Sfardi, the Godel, the Chikrei Lev writes in a piece in the Yerideh and Mem Gimel, that it's meduyuk in Rashi throughout here, and elsewhere as well, that Rashi holds that the only way that a person could violate the din of beria and get malchus with less than a kezias is only specifically if you swallow it down. Why? That's why Rashi says boloi, because if you chew it with your teeth before you swallow it down, then you've destroyed the shem beria before it went down your throat, before you swallowed it, and consequently it wasn't swallowed down as a beria. Your teeth was the entity that chewed it up, that destroyed it from being a beria. Eich sheyia, in your mouth it got destroyed from being a beria, and it's not a beria, and therefore you wouldn't be malchus less than a kezias. So Rashi therefore held, they have to say that was swallowed down, swallowed whole. The Chikri Lev brings down the earlier sefer, the Masas Moshe, Chuvas Masas Moshe, Friya Dika Achrin, that the Masas Moshe actually clears this Shiloh, and the Masas Moshe doesn't bring down the Rashi. So he clears on his own this question of a person who chews up a barrier, so he destroys it with his teeth, and then he swallows it down. Is there within a barrier to be loika with less than a gazayas? And the Masas Moshe, instead of discussing the Rashi, discusses a couple of toises in his Shas, the toises in Chulin, the toises over here, on the bottom of the Omud by Velipligi Hobaravi Bazuchi, which the Masas Moshe understands to be meduyik and toises in a couple of places in Shas, that as long as it's in your mouth, there would be no chasor in the Shem barrier by the fact that you chewed it up now, because it went into your mouth, Beshlemus, that it was whole when it went in. Here's Dakasdikadiyik in the bottom toises. Toises discusses, the Gemara has some cases, at the bottom of the Omud, where a person consumes multiple crushed up nemolim plus one whole nemolah, so you get multiple malchios. For the whole nemolah, you get altsberia, and plus the ones that are crushed up together with the whole one, and it's tarifla, so you get multiple malchios, like the Gemara says. And Tosis has the kasha. Tosis says that the Gemara discusses large nemolim and small nemolim, and Tosis asks, Monashuch, if it's discussing large nemolim, why not discuss one big large one, which was the size of a gazayas, and you swallow it as a beria? And a mela, says Tosis, you're going to get multiple malchus, you're going to get for beria, and also for kezayas nevela, like the Gemara speaks about, that you get loika for kezayas nevela as well. You just forget about the mitzaref, joining together crushed up ones, or crushed up one together with a whole one. Just discussing one whole one, you ate it down, and the ate a b'shlemus, and it's going to get the loyalty, the malchus for the beria, plus the malchus for kezayas nevela as well. The Taisa says, Shema lo shchiach, the b'chadik kezayas, that perhaps it's not so usual, not so normal, that one memola alone will be able to be a kezayas. So therefore, it talks about mitzaref with another. Al-Kaponim, the Sefer Masas Moshe writes, and in his opinion, it's a person, imagine a person eats an entire kezayas-sized nemolah, and you believe that you swallowed it down without even chewing it. It's nish mistaver. I mean, such a thing is passable, but it's very not mistaver. Such a thing should be at all normal. And since Tosis discusses and declares that the Gemara should say this case, where the nemolah was the size of a kezayas, and he ate it as a barrier, and Tosis doesn't speak up a fairs that you have to belay it b'shlemus, which is not at all normal to belay an entire kezayas-sized b'shlemus, he understands, therefore, it's meduyik and taisis, that as long as it went into your mouth, b'shlemus, it was whole when it went in, even if you chew it up in your mouth, afal pikin, it wouldn't lose the shem of a kezayas, a shem of a beria. So the Chikri Lev says, we seem to have a machloikas in this, he believes it's quite mavur in Rashi, and Rashi argues on that, and Rashi shita is that unless it's mamash swallowed down whole, it would not be a beria. Now, the Kriwi Lev adds the Yosoideistic thing. He says, actually, he believes that this Shaila is a machloikis in the Yushalmi and Nozir between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish. Yushalmi Mamish discusses a case of Nemolo Shechilka Bepiv Ochlo, which seems to be Mamish have a case. You took a Nemolo, a whole Nemolo, you chewed it up, apparently divided it up in your mouth with your teeth, and then you ate it down. And the Yushalmi says that that's Taflukta, it's a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish. And the Yushalmi speaks out over there, the Loshan over there is Rabbi Yochanan is Ovid Piv Kilapnim, and Shlokish is Ovid Piv Kilachus. In other words, apparently, Shlokish, Rabbi Yochanan is saying piv kilapnim, as long as you put it into your mouth, b'shlemus, even if it was to split up by your teeth inside of your mouth, that's a bit kibipnim, it's like inside of your body, split up inside of your body, and it still doesn't take away from the shem beria, because the shem beria is hukva when it goes into your mouth, b'shlemus, regardless what your teeth do. So it's a b'yechana, which would be like the shitta of the Rashi. Mashain Kain Rish Lakish holds piv, Rabbi Yechon is going to hold the shitta and shuldig of taisis, as long as he went into your mouth, b'shlemus, yechayev. Rish Lakish holds piv kalachut, and he holds that the chewed up in your mouth is like chopped up outside of your mouth altogether. You chopped up at the table and then eat it. And according to Rish Lakish, apparently the only way to be able to get the din of Malkus of a barrier would only be by swallowing it down. But Shlemis Rish Lakish holds like Rashi. Consequently, it seems that through the Machlokes of Rish Lakish in the Yushalmi, is mamish this Machlokes Rishonim. The Sefer Pesach Advir in Hilchos Brachos and Chaimus and Reish Yud, Oyis Gimel, the Pesach Advir stills to this Machlokes. Machlokes between the Chikri Lev and the Masas Moshe, and which Chikri Lev says is the Machlokes in Yushalmi, and the Pesach Advir says, well, it's going to follow, we're going to pass him like a Yerichan in the Yushalmi, Yerichan is the Iker against Rish Lakish, which means the whole halacha like Tosfos, which is to say that the barrier is determined by the fact that you went into your mouth, Bishlemus, that makes it Shalem, even if it gets chopped up inside your mouth. It's not the Pesach Advir that he believes that with this, that he would answer a difficulty that he has with the Poiskim in Hilchos Brachos. Now, in Hilchos Brachos, there's a ratio that the discussion of the Yerushalmi Shitta is discussed by the Rishonim in case of Mevorchim and Brachos. The Yerushalmi holds that a person is chayav a burn of fashoi, so chayav a bracha achroina, you chayav a bracha achroina for eating a beria. So you eat an entire olive, for example, even if it's less than the size of a kazayas, afal pikein, there's a small one, afal pikein, even if it's less than the size of a kazayas, you will still be chayav a bracha achroina for the fact that you ate a beria shleim, an entire beria. So that's another application of the din beria in Hilchos Brachos, that's mechayev a bracha achroina. Pesach Advir says that he thinks it's very mystifying when none of the poets can mention, but derech klal, you eat a beria, you chew it up inside of your mouth with your teeth, there's usually a drop that's left stuck between the teeth, and therefore the choru, you didn't swallow down the entirety of the beria, you only swallowed down 99.5% of the beria, and half a percent remains stuck in the teeth. It's not a beria shleima, and the choru, you shouldn't be chayev a bracha achroina. Teinach of eating a whole kazayas. So you probably ate a kazayas with an extra little bit mashu, and therefore actually a whole kazayas went down your throat, even though a little remained in your teeth. But the beria is only going to be chayav a bracha achroina if you ate the entire beria b'shleim was mamish. So l'chayir, that's not some mistava that should happen. The person should speak it out. If even a little left is left between your teeth, l'chayir, you're not going to be chayav a bracha achroina at all. And the Yerushalmi, the poskim don't bring this thing down. The choshev of the Yerushalmi, the poskim say it's a safik lahalacha. The person should avoid eating a beria because he might be chayav a whole grape, etc. He might be chayav a bracha achroina for that. So the chayra, why didn't the poskim mention it's usually not negaya because a little bit remains between the teeth? The Pesach Advir says on that if you recognize what we're going to paskin like the Toisvis and like a Birchan Yerushalmi, then it's not shver. Why is Zokter? Because the what we're saying, if we paskin like Toisvis and the Birchan Yerushalmi, is that with Kriveya, the Shem of the Maichol, the way it went into your mouth. And if you went into your mouth, Bishlemus, even if you chopped it up inside your mouth, that's Pivka Lepnim, and it doesn't take away from the Shem Beria. The Meila Zokter Pesach Advir, that just like that's true when you get to cutting it up inside your mouth, it's also true Benegeya, in his opinion, the Eter, a little bit remaining of the teeth. Even though we paskin benegia to kazayas. That kazayas, the Pirmagonim says this, that if a kazayas is rechened, is calculated by the volume that went down your throat and into your stomach, hanos meyav, and regardless, and the amount that remained or went down the groin, and the amount that remained in the teeth is not rechened toward the shir of a kazayas. That's benegia to kazayas, the Pirmagonim says. That benegia to beria, zokti pesach advir, beria isn't rechened the way kazayas is by that which went into the digestive system and was digested by the body. Rather, beria is a din in that which was nichnas into the mouth and which was eaten in the normal manner of eating. And just like we're going to ignore the question that it was divided inside the mouth and l'chayr lost the shlemus inside the mouth, afal pikein is still called a beria because it went into the mouth as a beria, we're also going to ignore the fact that mashu, the vit fragments, remained in the teeth, and we're going to consider that to be the eating process of a beria and the having gone into your mouth and b'shlemus and being consumed as a beria is sufficient to mechayev you the brocha achroina of the Yerushalmi, according to the Yerushalmi, even if the small amounts that remain in the teeth. It's a tremendous chiddush, as Pesach Advir says, based upon the maskonas achroinim in our Gemara.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on any daf in Shas, including Mara Meklemis on each shiur, please visit shasilluminated.org. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. We can be reached at 203-312-SHAS, or you can email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.